Would the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
34 members present.
There is a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Collins, Maru, and Sund are excused from the call of the House today. Phillips, Porchot, and Pettyjohn are excused upon adjournment.
Our chaplain today is Reverend Art Knight of the Douglas Methodist Church. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Almighty and ever-loving God, all 40 of the persons who meet in this chamber came here with certain ideas and certain things in their minds which they wanted to see accomplished. As the session has progressed, each one has seen some victory and some defeat, and will probably see more of each. Decisions have been necessary as to what is really important and what may be laid aside, however regretfully. It is our prayer this morning that in the give and take of this legislative process, it has been ideas and not persons which have been at stake. It is sufficient hurt to see a cherished idea defeated without the added bitterness of a personal attack and rejection. And the political task is complicated and difficult enough without personal enmities. We pray also that each legislator and those who assist them may find time to put aside the issues and the tensions of this work, may refresh themselves in relaxation and the doing of other things, may find moments of comfort and encouragement with you. Amen.
Representative Copeland.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objection as having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 95th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 95th day and House supplement numbers 50 and 51.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 95th day and House supplements 50 and 51 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correction of the journal and the supplement? Hearing no objections, the journal and supplement stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction at this time? Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Once again, I have the pleasure of introducing to the body a sizable group of students from Prince of Wales Island. Today with us from Craig, and maybe you'd stand as your name is read so we can recognize you, is Miss Lynn Storm, Catherine Duncan, Jan Marsden, Lorenda Ernstberger, Crystal Fields, Shona Kubley, Patricia Gardner, James Carl, Courtney Baker, Janine Robinson, Norman Lingley, Sherry Welker, Lorene Buckridge, Donna Ray James, Dee Patoska, Duan Nguyen, Camille Ernstberger, Larry James, Yodine Farrell, Myrna Lang, Jenny Morgan, Catherine Duncan, and Kim Webb, and accompanying them are Carolyn Gardner, Mr. Patrick Gardner, and Ms. Lorene Buckridge. Please help me welcome them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have with us today in Gallery B a friend of mine and a member of the Kenai Borough Assembly from the Community of Hope, which we hear a lot about and we'll be hearing much more from. I'd like to have the body help me welcome Jim Skogstad.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege this morning to introduce to the body two dear friends of mine from Ketchikan. They moved there in the early 50s and have have produced for this community three beautiful daughters, all of whom are actively involved in Southeast Alaska. They still reside there, married for 35 years. I'd like to introduce to this body Mr. Rudy and Marge Bukovich.
Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to recognize a great friend of this body, the distinguished senator from Juneau, Senator Bill Ray.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a borough assemblyman from the South Kenai Peninsula, Mr. Brent Keene in Gallery A.
Do we have any further guests for introduction? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I failed to note that Representative Herman is ill today and therefore should be reflected as excused.
Any further guests for introduction? Do we have any messages from the governor?
Dear Representative Grusendorf, I have signed the following resolution and bill, and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 relating to federal funding for conservation programs, Legislative Resolve Number 12. House Bill Number 121, changing the name of the Division of Telecommunication Systems in the Department of Administration, effective date. Chapter Number 11, SLA 1985. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate approved the following citation, and they were transmitted to enrolling. In memoriam, Edmund Knutson. The Senate passed and returned House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 relating to the recognition of International Youth Year, and this resolution has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 157, Judiciary Amended, with the following amendment. Page 19, line 23, delete section 62 and renumber accordingly. And so, CS for House Bill 157, Judiciary Amended, Senate, making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the reviser of statutes effective date is returned for consideration. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
That bill is in your limbo file. I encourage the members to take a look at that file because on Monday or Tuesday of next week we'll be handling this bill. Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We have a notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Department of Public Safety sent in by Robert J. Sundberg, Commissioner, and also notice of proposed changes in the regulations of the Department of Labor from Jim Robison, Commissioner, and these have been placed on each member's desk and are on file in the clerk's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Rules has had House Concurrent Resolution 15, Control of Wolf Predation, under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 15 rules with the same title and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by M.W. Miller, Chairman, signing Dupass, M.W. Miller, and Wallace. Signing no recommendation, Fuller, Grusendorf, Davis, Pinalberry, and Martin. House Concurrent Resolution Number 15 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Joint Resolution 24, sharing federal revenue generated from development of the Outer Continental Shelf, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, Frank, Binkley, and Cotton. Having no recommendation, Zemanski. House Joint Resolution Number 24 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 8, Harassment of Game, under consideration and recommends as follows. The report was signed by Co-Chair Schultz, signing Dupass, Cato, Thompson, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Jenkins, Pierce, and M.W. Miller. Schultz signed, amend, delete, drive, and heard? Drive and heard. House Bill 8 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 91, allowing retirement credit for the unused sick leave of an employee of a political subdivision or public organization participating in the public employee's retirement system, under consideration, reports it back as follows and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, signing Dupass, M.M. Miller. Having no recommendation, Hurley, Boucher, Jenkins, Navarre, and Cato. House Bill 91 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 111, Local Service Roads and Trails, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 111, Transportation, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by the co-chair Schultz, and signing do pass, Schultz, Cato, Pierce, Thompson, M.W. Miller, and Wallace. Jenkins has no recommendation. House Bill 111 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 288, Taking a Fish and Game for Subsistence and Personal Use, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 288, Judiciary, with the same title, and reports it back as follows. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass, M.M. Miller, Clarkson, and Sund. Signing do not pass, Pettijohn and Phillips. Signing no recommendation, Grunberg and Taylor. House Bill 288 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hurley.
May we have an at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Under the daily order of business, we're under reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on State Loans has had House Bill 105 relating to the International Airports Revenue Bonds Authorization under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 105 Loans with a new title and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Sund Chairman, signing do pass, Fuller, Ewling, and Sund. Cotton has no recommendation. House Bill 105 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopanen.
Without objection, could we revert to introduction of guests?
Are there any objection to reverting back to introduction of guests?
Proceed. Gallery A, I'd like to introduce Linus Niedermeyer, Portland, Oregon, formerly of Niedermeyer Martin Lumber Company and currently a private consultant in Pacific Rim and Middle East timber trade.
Any further introduction of guests? Representative Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a constituent that's joined us for the remainder of the session, next couple weeks, I hope. In Gallery A, Dana Owen.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 359 with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to direct service charges for the sale of power by the Alaska Power Authority to retail consumers.
This will be referred to the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs, the Special House Committee on State Loans, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 390 with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act placing the employees of the Alaska Power Authority in the exempt service under the State Personnel Act and providing for an effective date.
Two standing committees, State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 391 with a transmittal letter and zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act authorizing the Alaska Power Authority to transfer certain projects to public utilities and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Labor and Commerce, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 392 with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the acquisition and development of state office and prison facilities and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee referral, Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the consideration of today's calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar? Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if I may, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration at this time for House Bill 294.
Notice of reconsideration has been brought before us. Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill 294 by Boucher, Davis, Hurley, et al., an act relating to preferential hire of Alaskans and providing for an effective date.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, if I may, I'd like to yield to the gentleman from Spinard who had the answer to my burning question yesterday about the retroactive date.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Minority Leader last session yesterday asked a question concerning the effective date, the retroactivity clause on Section 2, which is found, Mr. Speaker, on page 4, line 4. And I would refer the members to that particular provision, also to the handout, two-page handout that we provided just a few minutes ago for use during floor reconsideration of House Bill 294. The reason that the date July 16, 1983 was added to this House Bill 294 is because subsection B of AS 36.10.010, which is the statute that the entire HB 294 is intended to clarify was added by Chapter 72 SLA 1983. And if you look at the very last line on page 137 of the handout, you'll see that reference. If you look up at the top of the next page, page 138, the effect of the amendments, and I quote, "The 1983 amendment, effective July 16, 1983, which is the retroactivity date of this bill, designated the existing language as subsection A and added subsection B. The purpose of the bill is to clarify the legislative findings and purposes for Chapter 72 SLA 1983, and it sets forth in sections AS 3610005, Legislative Findings, Section 3610006, Statement of Purpose, Section 3610007, State Policy, and the two relate together.
Does the clerk have any amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any further debate? Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? We have before us House Bill 294 before the body for discussion. Do we have any debate? Representative Boucher, do you really want to do this?
That's what I was going to say. You want to go for it one more time? Amen. Thank you.
Any further debate? I guess the pleasure of the body. You're ready for the question. The question is, shall House Bill 294 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
35 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 294 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Clocks.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of House Bill 294 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Okay, this brings us to back to the reconsideration of the calendar that's before us today. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 152 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the status of board members whose term of office has expired and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had the bill under consideration, reports it back as follows and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, signing Dupass, Jenkins, and M.M. Miller. Signing no recommendation, Hurley, Navarre, Cato, Boucher, and Collins. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by M.M. Miller, Grunberg, Taylor, Pettijohn, Phillips, and Clarkson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 152 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement from second to third reading? Hearing objections, Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? We have House Bill 152 with an advancement motion from second to third reading. Are the objections maintained? Representative Navarre?
No, Mr. Speaker, I remove the objection.
Are there any objections to the advancement from second to third reading? Hearing no objections, will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill number 152 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the status of board members whose term of office has expired and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 152 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
36 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 152 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of House Bill 152 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Representative Hurley.
Speaker, the House State Affairs Committee had a letter that went to with the bill to the Judiciary Committee, and it was called a letter of intent, but it really was not a letter of intent to be adopted by the body. It was just to flag some items for them to look at.
Mr. Majority Leader, was that the purpose of you rising?
That's right. I was just going to say, Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to move the letter of intent because it isn't a letter of intent.
Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 280 by Navarre and Gall, an act creating the Anchor River and Fritz Creek critical habitat area. The Committee on Resources has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 280 Resources with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Schultz co-chair, signing do pass, Herman, Sun, Thompson, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Jenkins and Schultz. Signing, do not pass without amendment, Pierce. The Committee on Finance has had a sponsor substitute for House Bill 280 under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 280 Finance with the same title and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Duncan, Larson, Rieger, Cotton, and Zemanski. Having no recommendation, Frank and Binkley. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for the sponsor substitute for House Bill 280 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the committee substitute finance? Representative Martin.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I object just for purpose of discussion. I was wondering if the gentleman from Kenai would explain these differences for us.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the changes was on page 2 of the bill, section 2 under C, line 15, changed some wording there that didn't change any substantive in the bill. And the other one was there was some language changes to ensure that the grazing leases and oil and gas leases that were in the area were protected under this bill.
Are there any further objections to the adoption of the committee substitute finance? Hearing no objections, it's been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments for us?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 280 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement from second to third reading? Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 280 financed by the Finance Committee, an act creating the Anchor River and Fritz Creek critical habitat area.
Is there any debate? Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, this bill would set aside an area down on the southern Kenai Peninsula that's been identified as moose wintering area for the moose population on the Kenai Peninsula. It's about 19,000 acres, and I've passed out two handouts with the green cover letters. One is a proposal for the Fritz Creek area that identifies the area and gives a overview of what the bill's doing. The other is a memo from Department of Fish and Game that states that critical habitat areas are multiple use areas. There was some concern while this bill was going through committee that this was simply a land lockup, and that's not the case. In fact, in critical habitat areas across the state, recreational activities are allowed, hunting, fishing, trapping. Other activities don't even require a permit. And other activities such as oil and gas leasing, grazing leases, seismic exploration require a permit from the Department of Fish and Game. And 30 permits were applied for in other critical habitat areas in the state, and of those, 28 of them were granted, including seismic exploration, oil and gas leasing, sewage outfall lines, heavy equipment track, vehicle crossings, geological exploration. And, Mr. Speaker, the only two that were denied was an unauthorized fill and a bulkhead. Thank you. And this is a good bill. It is multiple use area, and I urge your support.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief question to the sponsor of the bill. How is that land presently classified that will be going into the critical habitat area? What's our designation under Department of Natural Resources presently?
Representative Navarre.
I guess it's just designated as state land. There is no designation on it. It is an area down in the Anchor River Fritz Creek area that, as I said, is mostly lowlands, doesn't have heavy snowfall accumulation during the winter, and as a result of that, the moose migrate down into that area during the winter. It's also a spawning area on the Anchor River for all kinds of salmon and trout that are, it's a very popular recreation area, Anchor River is, during the summer months, and also it's critical to the commercial fishing industry in Alaska.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the reason I asked that question is I had a chance to look over the maps involving the designated area that they're talking about, and the area includes a tremendous amount of territory in addition to just the river areas and the boundaries, but it goes, as the sponsor had mentioned, something like 19,000 acres, and I was just wondering, what was the determination, again, on the size of it? Why was it there such a large size that was needed? It just seemed like it went for miles and miles beyond the actual boundaries of the river.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 19,000 acres at first glance seems like a big area. But actually, if you'll look at the proposal for the habitat area on that map on the back page, most of the area along the Homer Bench, which is on the right-hand side of the map, below the area that's included now, and also in the all along the Anchor River area, Anchor Point area, in there was traditional moose habitat during the winter. That's where they wintered, but most of that's been developed now. And in this area, there's been, 19,000 acres seems like a lot, but the range that these moose populate during the summer and fall months is an area some 800,000 acres. So it's actually a very minor area, and a good percentage of the moose population from the Kenai Peninsula migrates into that area to winter, and it is critical that we protect this area for them.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an interesting discussion. I think I rose on the floor of this house twice yesterday to mention something about the quality of our land and the concern about our land, regardless of and land use, regardless of where it's located in this state. And to me, and I thank the representative from Kenai for his pointing out the map on the last page of his handout, because to me, 19,000 acres does look like a significant piece of ground. Indeed, a significant piece of real estate to the extent of nearly 30 square miles. That's about, my memory makes me correct, about a third the size of Anchorage proper. That's a significant amount of real estate. And I, too, feel, and I'm going to try to make some comments in a committee tomorrow, that river corridors are of a magnitude that can be cut down and still preserve all of our compatible uses. And I appreciate the comments from the representative from Kenai as to the fact that there are some other uses to this land. And indeed, I would suspect that that land is going to be used for some other uses. I appreciate that. I do not feel that this bill, I do feel that the critical habitat and the Anchor and Fritz Creek area could be preserved with a lot less land totally put in the critical habitat, and particularly in view of the fact that the Anchor River is such a high steelhead and rainbow resource. And I really appreciate that, because many of the people from my area visit that river in the fall in particular. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 280, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 280, Finance, has passed the House. Representative Pettyjohn.
I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote on 280.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the jurisdiction of the Superior Court and the District Court and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass M.M. Miller, Taylor, and Phillips. Having no recommendation, Clarkson and Sund. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with a Judiciary House Committee substitute and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass Adams, Ringstad, Duncan, Larson, Zemanski, Binkley, and Porchot. Having no recommendation, Rieger, Cotton, and Frank. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the CS or Judiciary? Hearing no objections, it has been adopted. Do we have any further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Gruenberg, and it starts page 7 after line 14. Add a new bill section to read section 8, and it has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Judiciary Committee, we amended...
Representative Gruenberg, please move the amendment.
I move the amendment.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you. May I explain the amendment? In the Judiciary Committee, I moved an amendment on page 6, line 13, that will allow the court to order mediation. Mediation is a process by which the parties are encouraged to reach an agreement. It's not an agreement imposed on them by an arbitrator or by the court, but a voluntary agreement by themselves. And it was, I'll have to briefly explain the process of the domestic violence statutes. A person goes in and gets an ex parte order. They go into the judge's chambers, and the judge signs the order, usually an injunction prohibiting any further domestic violence. Between 10 and 20 days after that, they have a hearing. And the purpose of the Judiciary Committee language on page 6, line 13, was to allow the court at the hearing to order mediation. It would be obviously inappropriate on an ex parte basis where the court doesn't have both parties in front of it and can't see whether there is these parties can really mediate the case, whether they're even talking to each other, to order mediation. The effect of the amendment, Mr. Speaker, is to limit the ability to order mediation to the time when there is a hearing so that they can't do it on an ex parte situation. But if the court has both parties in front of them and sees that these people are willing to talk and maybe solve their problems or enter into a contract and have a no-fault dissolution, it can order mediation. I ask unanimous consent for the amendment.
Representative Pitt. Are there any objections to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no objections, Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Do we have any further amendments before us?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement from second to third reading? Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary, amended House by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the jurisdiction of the Superior Court and the District Court and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary Amended, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
36 yeas, no nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary Amended, has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1 as amended by the House be the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the clause has been adopted. Representative Clarkson. Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House please come back to order? The House will come back to order. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for House Bill 141, Judiciary, be removed from today's calendar and placed, at the bottom of Monday's calendar.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Under the consideration of the daily calendar, we have some final action on a citation or two. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations? Hearing no objections, so ordered. This brings us to unfinished business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration on House Bill 295 be held over until Monday.
Are there any objections? Hearing objections, Representative Pinyalberry.
If there be a reason for that, we might have.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the person that gave the reconsideration is ill today.
Matter of courtesy. Any further objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Still under unfinished business. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Under announcements, standing committees or special committees. Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, due to some glitches that we hadn't anticipated, the Transportation Committee will not have a meeting Tuesday and Wednesday, April 23rd and 24th. Thursday, April 25th, the House will be taking up House Bill 377, an act requiring inclusion of recommended plans for the improving of access to the handicapped public building and the facilities in the capital improvement program recommended by the governor to the legislature. Thank you, sir.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Miller.
Cooperation in coming in early two or three times this week, and I will do it. This will be the last time this week, Mr. Speaker, anyway. Mr. Speaker, while I'm on my feet, maybe I can make an announcement of a social nature. The Alaska Public Employees Association are having their annual legislative reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Treadwell Room of the Baranoff Hotel from 5 to 7, and all the members and their dates, spouses, wives, whatever, are invited. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the House Subcommittee on House Bill 93, the Rec Rivers Bill, will meet tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the House Finance Committee room.
Are you ready for general announcements? Representative Clarkson.
Brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Would the House please come back to order? We are now under general announcements. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In a very important meeting for the House Minority Caucus, I'd like to ask everyone within 5 minutes to be at the minority office if they would like to talk about money. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if they're going to talk about money, I'd like to call a meeting of the Anchorage Democratic Caucus to talk about money at 11:15.
Any further announcements of any monetary value? Where are
we going to get ours?
Representative, Any further announcements? Now it's Friday. Do we have any special orders? Representative Hurley.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for the privilege of the floor to speak on Bob Bartlett Day.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Of Bob Bartlett, it's written in bronze in the rotunda of the National Capitol, architect of statehood, and again in bronze in this building, the most beloved of all Alaska's political figures. Tomorrow, the anniversary of his birth is noted by the statute in his honor and remembrance. In the words of A. Robert Smith, for many years a Washington correspondent of the Big Time Press, Bartlett will live on for those of us who loved him because of his rare humanity. It is that we remember so clearly, his rare humanity. And his lasting monument is not that in Statuary Hall, not the public buildings and facilities that were named in his honor, but in the fact of statehood itself. Senator Mike Mansfield of Montana, among this century's great statesmen, said of his House and Senate colleague, "To Bob Bartlett, more than anyone else, goes the credit for the admission of Alaska into the Union." And Sam Rayburn, crusty Texan and Speaker of the House, when asked by the press in 1958 to explain the impossible, Alaska's admission, replied, "I can tell you in two words, Bob Bartlett." Son of stampeders dating from the Klondike and thence to Fairbanks, Bartlett left placer mining in the Circle District to accept appointment by FDR in 1939 as Secretary of Alaska. He was elected delegate to Congress in 1944 and to the Senate in 1958. He devoted himself tirelessly for 14 years to the cause of statehood. Jacob Javits said of him, "I congratulate Alaska on producing so noble a son. Let us honor him and keep faith with him, for in doing so, we keep faith with Alaska." Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Ringsted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to talk about who's really making the rules?
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative, carefully.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the things that becomes more and more obvious, I guess, as we go back and talk to people at home is they don't really care if it's statute or regulation. They got to live with the garbage either way. And it started to occur to me that I was seeing an awful lot of these regulation things show up all the time. So I've been trying to keep a tally sheet with the stuff that comes through our desk every day, as well as the stuff that our good Reg Review Chairman's been giving me. And so far I've figured out we're getting about one set of regulation changes every other day. Now, stop and think about it. Half of this stuff goes through here, and we don't really have time to keep up with it. But if you tried to figure out, read every one of those, research every one of those, find out what's happening now, what the new change means, how much time is that going to take you? How much time is our Reg Review Chairman have to spend on this? At home trying to do. There's no way they can keep up with all these regulations. You know, it's going to come real soon here when we're going to have to stop and figure out who's writing the rules. Is it us or is it the bureaucrats? I think we're losing. And I think the people at home are losing worse than we are. Thank you.
Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we're anxious to get on with the day. I would, yesterday I talked about the employment of Alaskans. Today, I would like to, with your permission, pursue the same subject.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
I'd like for a moment, and this just came to my attention, the Youth Employment Service is a program that started in 1972. I've left something on your desk regarding it. It has existed as a special grant in the Department of Education since then, and it's something that's kind of been funded each year automatically. Now, this is one of those rare programs that responds to putting young people to work. For example, last year, with a $300,000 budget, it put 5,730 young Alaskans, particularly in the high school areas, the 14 to 16-year-old that has a tough time are getting work. It helped over 17,610, and if you'll look at your individual cities, you'll see how your cities fared in this area. There's one page on there that says Youth Employment Services FY84. It did it at an average cost of under $24 a young person. Now, I'm not going to stand here and berate you about all of the programs, the corrective programs that we have for young people, and literally the millions of dollars that we spend in rehabilitation programs. This is one of those rare programs that has existed for over 10 years that inadvertently, because it had no bureaucratic constituency in this first year of budget constraint, it's fallen through the cracks. I've taken my problem to Representative Larson, who has the Department of Education. He is going to see what's going to be done about it, and I've taken the problem to the Senate side. But I thought, since it is of concern to all of you, that I would bring it to your attention with this particular memorandum. I think it's really vital that we concern ourselves with not only getting our young people involved, getting them registered, talking about the great country and the great state that we have, but we also need to create an opportunity for them to help begin to enter the work world, particularly the 14 to 17-year-old in high school that may have no other avenue. The Department of Labor, by and large, and we found this out back in 72, and rightfully so, is pretty busy getting a job for the family wage earner. Youth Employment Service deals, helps them how to, tells them how to fill out resumes, and it deals primarily with that young person, 14 to 17 years of age, that's just entering the work world. So in your deliberations and the many other problems that you have, I would appreciate your talking to the people that are on the particular budget committee, and I see if we can't get some House support for this program and get it back on track so that many young Alaskans who are looking forward, and incidentally, there are outreach programs for this in every high school. They go out and look for the jobs, and they bring those jobs into the high schools. So I would request your support for this, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to respond to the representative from Fairbanks on the matter of regulations.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a member of the Administrative Regulations Review Committee, along with Representative Hanley, and that committee is chaired by Representative Fuller, I'd like to inform the body that we do intend to spend time during the interim reviewing new regulations. I would also like to inform the body that, from my perspective, the issue is not merely one of the quantity of regulations, but also the quality of them. I have found several instances, and in my mind, disturbing instances, where those regulations expand upon the law. And I have a problem with that, and I invite other members of this body to consider spending some time reviewing regulations that they have a particular interest in, and letting those of us on the committee know about that interest. Thank you.
Representative Pinyalberry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask for the privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, the problem of promulgating regulations by the executive branch, I believe, is becoming more serious because the governor has probably broken a record with the number of bills that have been introduced by the executive branch this year from any previous year. And I was happened to be burdened by the same responsibilities and concern about not being able to keep up with all the regulations that are coming through, as was mentioned by the representative with the noble lineage from Fairbanks. I would like to just tell the members that about Monday or Tuesday of next week, I will be circulating a bill for co-sponsors that will require that whenever the governor introduces a bill that entails the promulgation of regulations,
that those regulations be drafted and circulated in advance so that we can see what the bureaucrats intend to do with the regulations prior to the time we pass the bill.
We're still under special orders. Any further special orders to come before this body? Representative Taylor.
I would like permission to move back up the calendar to announcements, if we could, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Yes, I would like to announce the creation of the Insular Caucus. Insular, for those of you who don't understand that word, means island, and would call upon the Insular Caucus, which is a membership of totally top-quality individuals, made up of people who live on islands, that being Representative from Kodiak, from Wrangell, from Revilla Island, and also from the great island known for Mr. Baranoff. We'll be meeting in the lounge immediately following our breakup here.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we get down to talking about money, I think I'll have to propose that we get a freshman caucus together. There's quite a few of us. We might have a say.
You need critical habitat. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.
Any objections? So ordered.